Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Good afternoon. Welcome to our program on this Good Friday. Happy Easter weekend. Passover begins tonight as well. We'll have the Passover Seder right here at the table. Anyway, let's get to the headlines before we tell you about the guests on this program and what an afternoon we have going for you. Plenty has changed in a year. Georgia quarterback Stetson Bennett. He's now the starter. He's the man that everybody's talking about. And we'll talk to his coach later on. Alabama has done it. They are now in the NIL business officially. They've announced their collective, and we will talk to the senior advisor for that collective in just a little while. Is there any pressure on Brian Kelly? I don't know. 10-year contract worth $100 million. I don't feel any pressure. Gets to eat all that good Cajun food. Brian Kelly needs a national title? That's what some are saying. And Bill Conley never fails, never succeeds either, but he's got a list out of the 100 best running backs of all time. Barry Sanders, number one. Archie, Herschel, Ricky Williams, O.J. Simpson. The juice. I don't know about that one. Tony Dorsett, Rozier, Bo Jackson, number eight. I refuse to look at any list that has Bo Jackson and Earl Campbell at 8 and 9. That is absurd, but we'll talk to the man who helped come up with it a little bit later on. So what are we going to do on this Good Friday? Matt Barry, he's on the call for tomorrow's A-Day game in Tuscaloosa. We'll talk to him. Conley, we'll rip him. Philip Stutz, senior advisor for High Tide Traditions.
Roll Tide, roll Paul.
RTR. Oh, Kirby Smart. How about that? The Alabama Collective guy comes on right before Kirby joins us to preview tomorrow's game. Tim Hasselbeck on the draft. That is under 2 weeks away. In the final hour, Archbishop Joseph Marino will take your confessional. Actually, he won't, but he'd be more than happy to talk to you. So if you want to think about a question for the Archbishop in our final hour on this very serious holiday weekend, we will let you visit with him, but as well as your phone calls here at 855-242-7285. Let's start by talking to Will in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, great. I'm talking in my
Hey, Will, for some reason, we are not able to hear you. Let me try to get you back on a better connection, because did you hear anything he said? I thought what he said was Burger King, fries, and a big Coke.
Something like that.
It sounded like you go through the window at a drive-thru while you're gargling. You can tell we've had a few before the show. J.D. is up next in Mississippi. Hello, J.D.
How you doing, Mr. Paul?
J.D.,
happy
we are doing
Easter,
great.
Happy Easter, Bo-Tide. Did you hear Mama? She said happy Easter to you.
Who was that saying, Roll Tide?
That's Mama. We on the way up to Tuscaloosa to the A-Day game.
Now is that now hold on a second. I'm going to show my Southernese here. Is that Mama or is that Mama and them?
That was Mama and them.
Mama and them. No, is that one word, Mama and them?
Yes, sir.
What does that mean?
Yes, sir. Well, you know.
Mama and them.
Yes,
I've been a Southerner my whole life. I still can't speak that language. Mama them.
Well, look here. Hey,
look at here.
Let me ask you.
Look at here, Mom and them.
Hey, you going to that A-Day game tomorrow?
Right now, I'm a couple of, about 500 miles away from there. Let me see if I can catch a ride, and I'll let you know tomorrow.
Well, if you give us, we'll swing by there and get you. And
okay.
I'll just let us know. We'll be in a Ford Taurus. And,
a Ford what?
Ford Taurus.
Hate to ask the spelling on that.
Yes, sir. Well, you know. But look here.
Look at here.
Me and Mama got there and we pulled it up. And I knew how to get to Tuscaloosa. And they said 3 hours and 30 minutes. And that's good. But it takes me 5 hours to get from Way, Mississippi, up to Tuscaloosa.
Now you're in the south central part of the state?
No, sir. We down here in the south. We down here 16 miles west of Mobile.
Oh, okay. I know where you are. 16
miles north of Pascagoula. Yeah,
Okay. I got you now.
Yes, sir. And now. Right there at the Pascagoula River Swamp.
Sure, yeah, I do my hunting down there.
Yes, sir, yes.
Hunt for cooters
but
down
anyhow,
there.
Yes, sir. And now, but anyhow.
I said cooters, not
there,
cougars.
And it said, yes, sir. Anyhow, it said 3 hours and 30 minutes to get up there. And I'll. But by the time I leave there and get to it, takes me and Mama 5 hours.
Now, do you and Mama stop at all for a soda or what?
That's what I'm telling you. Had stuff in Bucatana, and had to use the bathroom, stop Meridian, get us something to eat.
Meridian, yeah, now, I've been to Meridian.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Meridian used to have a great restaurant. I used to stop there when I went to Mississippi State, and I can't remember the name of it, but it was fantastic.
Well, the Magnolia down there, it's good. It's
okay.
Good. A little pricey.
Well, I'm sure.
But,
see, I was going on an expense account. I would never spend my own money.
Well, and yes, sir. Well, let me get to the point. Mama's getting on to me. And now, Renner, what do you think on that far as that Bryce Young? Well, who's coming in behind Bryce Young? Do you think we on the secondary quarterback we have to have?
Yeah, they got one there, and I'm not sure. I mean, we haven't seen much. Hey, listen, I have to run, but you be careful, okay? Because you and Mom and them sound like you. Now, Trey, I have to ask you. You're an Alabama guy. Do you understand all that?
Kinda, sorta, Paul. I'll have to go back and listen again. Paul, how are you today, my friend?
I am doing wonderfully.
Yeah, well, me too, Paul. Too blessed to be stressed this weekend. Hey, Paul, do you realize that your show, the ratings have jumped about 50 to 60% in the last 7 to 10 days? And I want to know if you know why.
I knew that our ratings were all-time high, but I didn't know why.
Well, Jerome is back, and
right.
Jim is gone.
Oh, okay.
So, well, that is a reason. And Paul, that poll that came out yesterday, that ESPN FPI had Auburn number 10.
Right.
Is were they thinking about their basketball team and accidentally put them in there or what, Paul?
I am going to ask the person that did that poll because, and no disrespect to Auburn, I'm sure they'll have a good 500 team this year, but they do not deserve to be that high.
Yeah, and one other thing I want to say something to Jay Case. He made fun of Alabama playing Louisiana Monroe. If I'm not mistaken, Louisiana Monroe beat Nick Saban in Alabama. I'm not correct?
No, you are correct, yes.
Has Miami beat Alabama and Nick Saban?
Miami has not.
Case closed. Have a good weekend, Paul.
Trey, thank you for sharing that valuable information. Let's talk to Michael in North Carolina. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Paul. I just wanted to take advantage of the fact you're going to be interviewing Kirby Smart at 5 o'clock.
Right.
And over the years, my opinion about Kirby is in that he's been indecisive in choosing a quarterback. Witness Fromm versus Fields, and I think he chose the wrong one, shown by Fields' performance at Ohio State. And then JT versus Stetson, couldn't seem to make his mind up there. Would you be willing to bring some pressure to Kirby today and say, can you finally pick a starter for your, the quarterback position? Or am I being unfair to Kirby?
You're being unfair to me because I'm not allowed to ask questions like that. I mean, they, if I asked that question today, I literally, somebody in the back room hits a button and I will eject out of this chair.
Well, can't you blame it on a crazy caller from North Carolina?
I'll try that one. Hey, thanks for the call. Kirby will join us in 2 hours. We have a lot to do, including your phone calls. We'll talk about the Alabama spring game coming up with a man who will be broadcasting it for you, Matt Berry, right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we welcome you back. And part of the Bama coverage will be anchored, not part of it, all of it will be anchored by our next guest, Matt Berry, who will be in Tuscaloosa calling that game. Matt, good to see you again. We talked to you a week ago in Augusta. You make the rounds in the South, I'm telling you.
Yeah, Paul, I love making the rounds in the South because I had to do my four-day stop up here in Connecticut just to make sure they were still accepting me up here in the Northeast. And then I'll hop on my flight a little bit to head down to Tuscaloosa for the annual A-Day game. And, you know, same as it ever was for Nick Saban and his staff, departures to the NFL, incoming five stars, try to make it all work in the final spring practice of the year. Send them off to finals, bring them back at the end of the May, and enter the season as one of the favorites to go to the college football playoff.
Seems like Saban was getting ready for the A-Day game by watching Justin Thomas's pre-match warm-up Sunday at Augusta. You think he got any tips on how to coach this year?
Well, maybe some tips on how to get your hips through your swing and make sure everything stays connected to be able to hit the ball the way Justin Thomas does. But it really is. You know, I say this all the time at the Masters. I don't even remember if I said it with you last week. Augusta is an SEC epicenter. I walk around that course. You're hearing War Eagle. You're hearing Roll Tide. You're hearing Go Aggies, LS. I mean, it's a collection of every fan base. And think about that for a minute. Every fan base huddled around Amen Corner in the par 3 12th. Paul, if they would allow you, I think it'd be the best spot on the planet to do your show because every single fan base that calls in and screams at you is right there at the most prestigious golf.
That would be pretty funny. It would even be funny if we had like a golf tournament there among our callers. There would not be a golf course left the next year. Let me get to the spring game, Matt, because let's be honest. Who knows what these coaches have in mind? We had Napier on here yesterday. I think he was just happy to have his enough players on the field. We've talked to all the various coaches, including Kirby Smart today. But as you prepare to broadcast the spring game, I know it's different than a big time Friday night game or a Saturday afternoon game. What are you expecting tomorrow?
I think, Paul, what you get in this game, just talk with the Alabama coaching staff, some of the players, I think what they want to see, you've got 13 early enrollees. How do those guys show up? How do these highly touted recruits who enrolled in school early show up in an atmosphere that's different than normal practice? The backup quarterback situation, Jalen Milroe's the guy right now. From all accounts, he's had a remarkable spring, but they got that five-star stud coming in, Ty, that people are talking about being the next great quarterback at Alabama. What's he going to do in a situation where there's fans and it's not a practice? And so I think when you've got the two best players in college football, in Will Anderson and Bryce Young, you don't really need to see anything from them. What you need to see, Gibbs, the transfer from Georgia Tech, Burton, I don't know that he needs to show anything coming from Georgia, but how some of these newer guys, the early on enrollees, indoctrinate themselves into a college football setting. And we typically can ID at any spring game, 2, 3, 4 guys that we see, Paul, that we can pinpoint and say, like, you know what, that guy's going to be the next great Alabama running back, or that guy could be the next great Alabama quarterback. And so really it's a practice. It's a practice we put on TV. We let fans in the stands, and it's the last time we'll get a look at them before they come back for summer camp.
Visiting with Matt Barry on the call tomorrow. Matt, it has been an amazing year since July 1st in NIL, and now we have the issues over the transfer portal. I know you've been on a lot of different fronts, your regular noon sports center job, what you did at Augusta, the occasional spring game that you're doing. But you are so plugged into college football as the host of Saturday night and all the other things you do. I'm curious your big picture view of all these commentaries that we've had from Dabo Saban and others about the current state of college football.
You know, when this was really starting to take form last year, and I'd have my weekly coaches meetings with the games that I call on Thursday night. And at the time, the problem with a lot of these coaches was the transfer portal, in that if you're a player and it's week 6 of the season and you just don't like how things are going, you can just up and leave. And so I think the first part of this is there needs to be a portal season. The fact that you can just up and go whenever you want, I think the portal needs to be closed after spring ball, but allow the end of spring ball transfers happening because it's going to be inevitable, and you close it until before bowl season, right after the regular season, and have a window to where these players can transfer. This open transfer thing is going to cause so many problems within the sport because coaches aren't going to be able to regulate their roster, control their depth, know who's in there on a week-in and week-out basis because it's just a free-for-all with transfers. That's part one that I think the coaches would love to see some regulation. And then part two is name, image, and likeness with where this has gone. Remember, Paul, how this argument started. Let's keep this in its simplest form. It was player X, star for the local college, should be able to go to a bookstore and sign autographs for money. Right? That's as simple as this thing was. He should be able to get money if his jersey's being sold in the bookstore. He should be able to make money on his name, image, and likeness. That was the foundation of it. Well, leave it to college football and sports to go from the intended purpose to a completely different stratosphere, of which Nick Saban is right, Dabo Swinney is right, he just goes about it a little differently. All of these coaches understand where we are. We've gone from what was intended to be a good thing to you don't know what money, how much money, and who's giving the money to get a player to come to your school. Then you combine that with the transfer portal, say, hey, you know what? People say you're not supposed to do this, but that's when we all eye roll. you could actually leave that university and come make more money over here. Paul, you know it's happening. I know it's happening. It's happening everywhere. We have to find a way to regulate it to get the players what they deserve, which is money on their name, image, and likeness, but not let it be the Wild West. It's a free-for-all where literally daily you don't know who's playing where.
Every coach will say, Matt, I don't know what the answer is because I'm coaching, but do you have any idea what the answer is? And how do you find a way to regulate something that is out of control?
There'd be a couple of things. I mean, if you just shoot from the hip, do you do a salary cap? I mean, the NFL's, you know what, the NFL is so competitive is because the league is structured for every team to go 8-8. It is structured in a salary cap so that these smart capologists, all these front offices, find a way to maneuver the money pieces relative to the talent piece to go to the playoffs and win a Super Bowl. Now, if it's just open season in college football, where, to be honest, there's what? 8 teams, 10 teams that have the alumni base and the financial resources to be able to get whoever they want. And so I would say find a way to regulate the amount of money that can go in and out of hands of these players. I've always said a player's stipend needs to be higher than it's been. These players shouldn't have to barely be able to eat or afford to do anything a normal college student would do. So I think there's a way to do it. And honestly, if they want to get paid, that makes them professionals. They're no longer amateurs. If they're getting paid for their services and their name, image, and likeness, they've essentially become pros. So, Paul, they probably should sign a contract. You know, they should probably sign something that at least keeps them at the school for a couple of years if they're going to be getting paid to be wearing that particular school's uniform. And that the conversation you and I are having is basically a pro football league at a younger level. And that's why I also think you hear all these rumors about 32 teams breaking off into their own power league. That's where the sport is right now, and there isn't going to be a solution that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people love, because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people don't love the state of the game right now.
Well said, Matt Berry, about to jump on a plane to head to Alabama. Matt, thank you very, very much for the time. We'll see Matt tomorrow on the coverage of the Alabama spring game. We are coming back. Kirby Smart joining us in 90 minutes. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we welcome you back. We'll talk a lot more about some of the spring games later. Let's continue right now. Joel is in Georgia. Joel?
Hello, Paul. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call, Paul. I wasn't at, you're looking good. I was wondering, what happened to Cat Daddy? I haven't heard from him in quite a while, have we?
Yeah, he called 2 days ago. He sounds just like he's always – he sounds – wouldn't say that, but well, he definitely sounds the same.
Well, I'm a second-time caller, for a long-time listener, Paul, and I really appreciate you and everything you've done. I just was curious about what you think, how Georgia's going to fare this year.
I think they'll be very good. I think I was asked earlier, I think they'll win the title, and the answer is no, but that doesn't mean that they won't be good. I think they'll be favored in every game. I think Oregon is a much easier opener than Clemson last year. I think the tricky games are really down at the end of the season. That late game against Kentucky is what I would say is the most dangerous game on the schedule. Early South Carolina, I'd like to say that's going to be a dangerous game, but I've been there to that game too many times to think that it will be. And, Mississippi State, Kentucky back-to-back on the road after Tennessee at home and Florida in Jacksonville, that's a very difficult stretch.
Yes, sir. I'm just trying to think, Georgia's been having all these top-tier teams at the beginning of the year, and Alabama gets all the cushy teams like Utah State.
Well, remember, Alabama is running out of opponents to play at the beginning of the season. They've beaten everyone. But I would agree. This year, who's Alabama's second game is their big game this year. They're at Texas. Now, I think that will be a big game. I know Texas was terrible last year, but still, it's a dangerous environment. Thank you for the call. Keyshawn is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Keyshawn.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good. So I have a few questions. How confident are you in Brian Kelly, specifically since he came from Notre Dame and actually has not won a title yet? And is it going to be a bust? I was wondering, what's your whole thought of that? He's coming down there to – he got Alabama to face, Georgia to face. Auburn is a big sleeper here and there. So I just want to know your opinion about that.
People look like this is a dangerous choice for Brian Kelly. He's in his 60s. He was never going to win a national championship at Notre Dame. They just don't – they don't have – they're good, but they're not good enough. And at LSU, he has taken the chance on a job that pays him $10 million a year. And – I think he's got a chance to win a championship there.
Mm-hmm. And you're not worried about him fit down there in the country?
No. I mean, the best fit of all time was Ed Orgeron, and he got fired 2 years after he won the national championship.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Is there a dime's worth of difference between Brian Kelly as a fit and Les Miles? Les Miles is one of the goofiest human beings on the face of the earth. He won a national championship down there. He almost won another one, and had he not gotten in his own way, he probably would have contended for more. Saban was not a great fit the day he was hired. He was a guy from the north, hired from Michigan State. He had never spent any time in the south. I think that is really overrated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you're saying. So do you think Notre Dame or LSU will have the big success long-term run? Because Coach O was just at Notre Dame, it was sometimes.
Let's be honest about Coach O. He's out of work. He's trying to get a TV job. He's trying to, brand his name. So he's saying ridiculous things. I don't have a problem with what he's doing. I would do the same thing. And by the way, unlike the two of us who have to work for a living, he was paid $17 million to go to the beach.
Yeah, true.
Sounds good to me. If I gave you $17 million, would you be here today?
No.
Okay, I wouldn't either.
Nope.
I would take Randy and Keyshawn, and we'd all go to the beach.
Got that right.
Yeah.
I leave a sign out here, gone fishing.
Gone fishing.
Yeah.
Hey, you take care of yourself. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Will is in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Oh, I apologize for the drop call earlier.
That's okay. We will fine you for that, but we'll give you a week or two to pay the fine.
All right. Thank you. I was just going to say, when you retire, would you want Randy to buy you a dog? And if so, what kind of dog would you want? But now that you've said that Notre Dame can't win a national championship, I kind of disagree with that. So,
I don't want Randy to buy me a dog. I already have a dog.
I've heard you talk about wanting to bring it to work, and then I kind of remember that. But
yeah, no, I am going. I am going to bring him in here one day. I think he's more personable than the host.
maybe
better say.
About the Notre Dame thing, then. Do you think that it was Brian Kelly, or do you think that a more youthful leadership could possibly win? Like Marcus Freeman, do you not
I think,
think
Marcus,
that Marcus
Freeman is going to be fabulous. I think he'll be a
I
great coach for Notre Dame.
Championship.
And I'll make you a promise. He will do the exact same thing that Brian Kelly did. He will get Notre Dame to the college football playoff, and they'll lose again by 3 touchdowns.
All right, I'm not trying to.
Let me spit it out, okay? Notre Dame cannot compete with Alabama or Georgia. They are not in the same league. I'm sorry. I work with a Notre Dame guy. They recruit really good athletes. It's a fantastic school, but there's a difference between number 1 and number 4 in college football, and we see that every year on the day of the college football semifinals. It's a blowout. Never fails. Kelly is in Long Island. Hello, Kelly.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
We are doing great.
Happy holidays to you.
Same.
Good. I just wanted to know, how do you feel about the potential for South Carolina women's basketball to remain a dynasty similar to, in the fashion to UConn? Or do you think UConn will come back and knock them off? Is Auriemma done with? What do you think?
No, I don't think Auriemma is done, but I do think I do think Dawn Staley has a dynasty at South Carolina, and she's won two, barely missed one or two other times, and there's absolutely no reason why it will fall back. Will she do what Geno did and winning what 11 straight? No, I think that is almost
right.
That's impossible. And
yeah.
I think right now Geno is his biggest problem is his own legacy. He had a great year. He played for the national championship, but it seemed disappointing.
Yeah, it fell short somehow, just like with the Lakers not making, you know, the game. Okay, I just wanted to see what you thought.
Kelly, thank
you. I believe that they
have
something.
You take care of yourself. Art is up next in Birmingham.
Paul, always awesome to be on your show. It's an honor.
Thank you.
If you don't mind, leaving aside the Mustang Ranch and the fight and the dog, did I hear you correctly say that at one point you were out of work for like a week and a half and that you were in the hospital and truly having your head examined or something?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure what you heard. I think what you heard me say once was that I had an eye condition about 15 years ago, and
no.
they couldn't figure out what it was. And at one point, they thought that maybe there was a tumor on my brain, so they sent me in for a brain scan. And I was telling the story of being there. You know, I mean, listen, when you're going in for a scan on your brain, you're pretty worried.
And you weren't as worried because
And I was feeling really badly about everything until I was talking to this guy who was sitting there next to me. He said, what are you doing here? I said, oh, I don't know. I said, what about you? And he started telling me about a brain tumor and he'd overcome cancer. And finally he told this long story and he asked me, because you're in there, you're sitting around your gowns. And he said, no, what are you doing here, Sonny? I said, hey, I just took a wrong turn. I'm sorry. I meant to go another
what?
Direction. It turned out not to be. It was a condition, but it had nothing to do with my brain. I was trying to make the point, Art, that when you think you have a lot of problems, talk to somebody else.
Right. Yeah. Well, especially in the neurosurgery.
Yeah, when they call you up and they say and you answer the phone and it says like hospital UAB hospital or whatever it was, and we've all been there with family members or and then they say your scan's negative. You realize how precious life is. Now I know a lot of you out there are joking right now, saying something's wrong with your brain, but nothing officially is wrong. Hey, thanks for the call. We'll take a break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And welcome back. Let's check out Jacob in Knoxville. Hello, Jacob.
Hey, Paul. What's going on, man?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good. I had a question about Hinton Hooker. What do you think out of all the quarterbacks in the SEC, how do you think he rates out of all of them?
Very high. I mean, I think right now, based on what we saw last year, I mean, I would put him in the after Bryce Young, I think you could make a case, a strong case, for him.
So you would say he's better than Bryce Young?
No, I said after Bryce Young, I think you could make a case with maybe two or three other guys, and put him in that conversation.
Okay, good. Two other questions for you. How do you think we play out against LSU in LSU this year?
That's hard to say right now because I don't have any idea what LSU is going to look like. So I think it's a possible win until further notice, and that further notice would be once we get a good look at LSU. But I think it's an opportunity, yes.
Okay, good deal. And the last question is, do you think the curse on UT has been reversed with Heupel and Tony Vitello doing what they're doing? Do you think, you know, maybe all the bad omens are gone?
I do. And I think what has to happen sometimes is just clean out everything, whether it's deserved or not. And, you know, you have a new chancellor, you have a new AD, you have a new football coach. The baseball situation is ideal. The basketball situation is healthy. So I know what UT fans have been through, and I think all that is over. Thank you very much for the call. Do appreciate it. Matt in San Antonio.
Hey, how you doing, brother? How you and Randy been doing on the show today, man?
Randy, okay?
We're doing great.
We're doing okay.
All right, I want to talk to you about the stupid Longhorn fans and those dumb Oklahoma fans. I swear to God, Paul, I've been hearing from Oklahoma fans say, when they come to the SEC, they're going to rule the SEC and beat everybody in it. I want to hear Randy's thoughts on that.
I really have no thoughts on that.
Okay, and I got one question. I have a couple questions I want to ask you, Paul. How do you think Texas is going to do against Alabama in that game with Alabama in Austin? Is my first one.
I would pick Alabama to win that game right now. I just have no faith in Texas.
Same here. And my second question to you, Paul, is who do you think has more likely a chance with one of the Texas teams to do better in the SEC? Texas, A&M, or Oklahoma?
Well, right now, I think it's pretty obvious. A&M has a 10-year jump on Texas. I think the better question really is, what is Oklahoma going to look like under Brent Venables? I know there's a lot of confidence in him, but let's see what happens. Yeah, I mean, I'm probably not as that schedule is incredibly weak when your first three games are UTEP, Kent State, and Nebraska. I think can Oklahoma, survive a couple of those road games? Iowa State, West Virginia, Bedlam last year, they absolutely blew that game. Now a lot of people are blaming Lincoln Riley for being distracted. Maybe. Let's check out Bob in Indiana. Hey, Bob.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about the portal transfers and the NIL. I'm an avid football fan, and I really go after a single school that I graduate from, but I don't think the coaches ought to have much to say about the portal transfers or the NIL. They're paid millions and millions of dollars to go out there and coach, and unless somebody's extremely biased, there's no need for those coaches to be. I can understand their concern, but after they've said their concern, that should be it.
Well, Bob, that really is it. These coaches who have publicly spoken about it are angry. They're not angry about players making money. They're angry about schools.
They're angry about the position it puts them in.
Well, what they're angry about are that some schools are being blatant in their recruitment of players away from one school to the other, and in their mind, using illegal tactics. Now, you can't prove that, so it's almost
that
a spurious comment.
That has happened for the last 100 years every year.
Well, no, it hasn't, because in the past you haven't been able to recruit off somebody else's roster and have that person be able to play until recently.
That's true.
Well, recruit, right, let me say play right away. Yeah, you could always try to get a transfer. But that and there are just no limits. But you know what? I'm with you. I don't really care what they have to say. At $10 million a year, do your job and accept the consequences. Thank you very, very much for the call. Let's check out Jim, who is in Alabama. Hello, Jim.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Just for your Georgia fan that called earlier in the show, pumping their chest about how tough Georgia's schedule is, let's kind of remember that Georgia refused a home-and-home two different times against Oregon, and the only way we'd come out there to play them is if we played them in their own backyard. So you're welcome for that. And just to get, and I got a couple other things too real quick, Paul. To get it clear now, you think that Kentucky, Georgia, and South Carolina, Georgia is going to be better than Dan Lanning and Oregon against Georgia?
Yes, I do.
Okay, we'll circle back to that.
Jim, with all due respect, when's the last time Oregon won a significant game?
I would probably have to say the beatdown of USC probably.
Mean beating up on your little sisters. I'm talking about beating somebody that matters.
I just remember
Oregon being in the game against Ohio State. I think they had the Heisman winner and they lost. I remember Oregon being the big bad wolf against Auburn, and they couldn't even score 20 points, I don't think, in the national championship game. You know what? I respect Oregon. They're a nice program, but every coach that goes out there can't wait to get away from there. So save your breath. I mean, you're in the Pac-12. Just accept the fact that you're in the nursery school of college football. Let's take a break. We will come back and talk to Bill Conley. Kirby Smart is an hour away. We're coming right back.